two suspects have been arrested in connection to last Wednesday's shooting on I-90. That's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. Good evening, I'm Corin Cates-Carney.
And I'm Conrad Scheid. We'll also tell you about Western Montana's expected cooler and perhaps rainy forecast for the next couple of days. And investigators think they know what's behind a highway crash last month that killed six people.
A man and woman suspected in a shooting on Interstate 90 in western Montana have been arrested in a Seattle motel. The Missoula County Attorney's Office said today that 30-year-old Troy Anthony Miller and 34-year-old Catherine Grace Evans were arrested on warrants for attempted deliberate homicide and robbery. Miller and Evans were arrested by the Pacific Northwest Fugitive Task Force. Missoula detectives are heading to Seattle to interview them. Police say a man was shot during a robbery along the highway near Tura on Wednesday night. The man survived, but his name and condition have not been released. Passing motorists contacted the police after seeing the wounded man on the side of the highway.
In other news from around the state, officials in Lake County continued searching today for a Polson man reported missing after he failed to return from a weekend kayaking trip on Flathead Lake. The missing man was identified as 43-year-old Robert W. McDonald, a physician at the St. Joseph's Medical Center in Polson. Chief Executive of St. Joseph Medical Center James Kaiser says Robert was a valued member of the Providence medical community and a part of the St. Joseph's family. McDonald joined St. Joseph in September 2013. Officials say McDonald left from the Bear Harbor condominiums around noon Saturday. He was not wearing a life jacket. Lake County Sheriff spokeswoman Karen Sargent tells KERR-AM that the search for McDonald moved into recovery mode today. She says both Lake and Flathead counties are using boats with side-scan sonar to search Polson Bay based on a citizen tip. McDonald was reported missing at 11:15 p.m. Saturday. Crews searched until 3:30 that night and searched again for several hours during the day on Sunday.
Investigators believe they know what caused the highway crash that killed six people last month, but their findings are under review before they can be released. The Montana Highway Patrol investigation has lasted for weeks as authorities attempted to piece together what happened in the June 19th collision between a fire engine and a pickup truck. The crash and fire on U.S. Highway 12 outside Helena killed Three Forks Fire Chief Todd Rummel and a couple and their three young children. There were no survivors. Department of Justice spokesman John Barnes said today investigators are forwarding their findings of the team to a crash reconstructionist who will review them for thoroughness and accuracy. Details of the findings were not released.
July rain showers are rare but welcome events in western Montana. Many early risers in our listening area awoke to just that this morning, and weather forecasters say more of the same is coming. National Weather Service meteorologist Genki Kino says this morning's rain was the first measurable precipitation in Missoula for this month. Nearly 0.2 inches fell between 4:30 and 6 a.m. No more is expected for the rest of this evening, but Kino says an incoming weather disturbance is going to affect most of western Montana this week, starting tomorrow.
Things are going to get started early in north central Idaho and then move off into western Montana probably later in the morning into the afternoon. But the biggest day for thunderstorms is looking like Wednesday, especially Wednesday afternoon. We could definitely see some strong thunderstorms develop in the afternoon into the evening. So Wednesday is definitely a day to keep your eye out on the weather.
Kino says any of these storms could produce intense rainfall.
Won't probably last that long, but any thunderstorms will be capable of producing some heavy rainfall for a short duration. But the main threats for on Wednesday will be some damaging wind gusts and some hail. We could probably see a quarter-size hail in certain places across western Montana. As of right now, it does look best from Missoula eastward, those areas, and also southwest Montana, like Butte as well.
As the front moves eastward on Wednesday evening, Kino says winds will pick up and temperatures will drop. Thursday's daytime highs may be in the mid to upper 70s, but warming back up to the 80s and 90s by the weekend.
If that rain does fall, it'll be a welcome respite for our forests from an otherwise hot and dry July. Lolo National Forest spokesman Boyd Hartwig says any moisture helps out.
It gives us kind of a breather. I mean, it doesn't put an end to fire season for sure, but it does give us kind of a, if we do have initial attack going on when we get something like this, that higher humidities, cooler temps, they certainly help the firefighters. And allow us to kind of stage assets and get ready for what's coming next. So it certainly helps, and it's helped with some of the Washington and Oregon fires as well. So you've had less smoke, which is great.
Lolo Forest investigators are looking into several fire starts reported this weekend just east of Missoula.
Early Sunday morning, the first call came in about 3:30 to Missoula Rural Fire District. They responded to three fires out in the Deer Creek, Crystal Creek Road Junction area, so east of Missoula. Lolo National Forest responded at about 4 o'clock in the morning. The firefighters got there. They were able to contain these three fires. They were all within a half mile of each other. So three fires, all less than 2/10 of an acre once they were contained, and all fairly close together and all adjacent to the road. They were burning in grass and some understory.
Investigators are looking at all evidence to determine whether these fires were sparked naturally or human-caused. Hartwig says investigators dealt with several suspicious fires in that same area 6 or 7 years ago.
The Montana Army National Guard sent 17 soldiers and two CH-47 Chinook helicopters to Washington State today to support wildfire fighting operations. A state of emergency was declared last Tuesday for 20 Washington counties because of wildfires, which have burned through 370 square miles and at least 150 homes. Chief of Public Affairs Lieutenant Colonel Tim Crow says states often offer assistance to each other through what is known as the Emergency Management Assistance Compact. He says the National Guard will support the emergency efforts until Washington no longer needs help.
That could be, you know, depending on how well they, the entire complex fire is suppressed. They could be home sooner than 15 days, but right now those soldiers are on 15-day state active duty orders, and so we have plans to rotate them out at that point should the state of Washington still need those two helicopters. We'll keep those two helicopters over there and just rotate the crews out.
Montana Governor Steve Bullock declared Friday that a state of disaster exists in Washington, severe enough to warrant Montana's support.
These pilots and crews trained to support wildland firefighting suppression efforts, not only on our training ranges, but are available for the governor should he need to send them out on fires within our state. Neighbors helping neighbors, they would be able to do the same thing in Montana should we have a bad fire season and need resources from their state to come here to Montana.
The twin-engine cargo helicopters are capable of dropping more than 2,000 gallons of water at a time from an attached bucket. Crow says the two helicopters and crew left at 8 a.m. this morning.
Missoula's housing market is warming up. In the words of Missoula Organization of Realtors President Brent Wahlberg, it's slowly but steadily improving. The number of homes sold in the first 6 months of this year stands at 454, compared to 557 during the first half of last year. The median sold price rose $220,500 from $214,000 during the same period in 2013. Wahlberg explains to Edward O'Brien the three main factors behind the lagging sales. The first one is interest rates.
Interest rates this year are about 0.75% to 1% higher than they were last year. So for a lot of people that were looking to purchase, in especially the late spring of 2013, April, May, and then into June, interest rates were on the floor and the signs were there that they were starting to climb back up. And so a lot of people were acted on these low 3% rates and said, let's hurry up, let's buy, take advantage of what's in the market now because rates are going to climb and that's going to stunt your borrowing ability, it's going to raise your house payments, things like that. So we saw a big surge in sales in the spring and early summer of 2013. And so, of course, with 2014, our rates have pretty much held steady between 4% to 4.5%. And so no surprise, we didn't see that giant surge that we saw in the late spring of 2013, and that's one big factor that's caused a little bit of a lag. The second reason is listed supply. In Missoula, we have, especially in our more affordable price ranges, we have a big issue with the availability of listed houses. We've been tracking the amount of listed sales versus buyer activity, what we call absorption rates. And what we have observed, especially between 150 and as high as 275, right now there are not enough listings in our market to meet buyer demand. And so what happens is, of course, lack of supply means slow activity. There's not enough houses, and so there's a lot of people that are sitting on the fence that are qualified and ready to buy, but the options just aren't there. So it has caused a little bit of a bottleneck in our sales activity. And then the third reason, definitely an uncontrollable reason, but we had a hard winter, especially in February, where we had, 27 of the 28 days, we had snow falling, we had two blizzards roll through town. Usually our February, people are getting ready for early spring list, getting ready to list in March and hoping for those early spring type sales. And a real harsh winter late in the winter, in February, and then carry into March, caused things to slow down, and it kind of had a ripple effect through the spring.
Is this overall situation unique to your all's area, or is this kind of a statewide, maybe even a nationwide effect?
So nationwide, yes. What we have been seeing is that nationwide, I believe most markets, 2014 has been a little bit behind 2013. Nationally, supply has been a little bit of an issue. New construction, what they call new home starts, has not been keeping up with the pace nationally. Statewide, the winter definitely hurt a lot of people. In speaking with presidents and associations around the state here, what we saw is a lot of areas have experienced a pretty similar thing too. And the raise in interest rates, that hit everybody across the nation. So that did cause, of course, a slowdown for everybody.
You talk about these interest rates, it's still in that 4% area. Really big picture, that's not too bad.
No, it's really not too bad. If you look at it historically, I think I saw something where the average interest rate over kind of a decade span going back 40 years, they're still great. But what happens, of course, is just kind of like your basic economics, if the incentive is there, people are going to act upon it. So 1% in a market where your median sales price right now is about $215,000 to $220,000, that can make a big difference. So when people saw that opportunity last year, they acted upon it. But what we see, too, is 2014, our first half is down from 2013, but it is up from 2012, which was up from 2011. So our pace over the course of 4 years is still trending up. What 2013 was it was a bigger spike than what we saw in our previous, what you would say, slow and steady hike up from the floor of what Missoula's market was.
Yeah, median prices, speaking of spikes, they're up a little bit too.
They are up a little bit, and that's one thing that is, you know, regardless of activity being up or down, what we have seen pretty much going back to, I think, 2011, is that median price has continually just climbed up a little bit more slow and steady, a little bit more constant with the median price raise, but that is up too. When we look at the second half of this year, we've seen some signs that show that I think it's going to be a pretty steady year. We also take a look at sales on a month-by-month basis. And January, February, March, April, May of 2014 all had less sales than their counterpart in 2013. But then June in 14 outpaced June in 2013. And so far, July in 14 is also outpacing July in 2013. So what we're seeing, I think, is, again, it's not really a long term, more the medium term, I guess, medium term, like 4 years, 5 year trend, shows that we're still with sales volume climbing up. We're kind of back to slow and steady. 13 really looked like more of an anomaly compared to when you look at 11, 12, and now 2014. So it seems like we'll probably finish around 1,000 residential units sold in Missoula is going to be my rough guess for the year. And what that'll equate to is our second best year since the real estate bubble burst, you know, with only 2013 being the better one.
Brent Wahlberg, president of the Missoula Organization of Realtors. Thanks so much.
Hey, you bet. Happy to help.
A woman who fled a Montana hospital after she and her newborn tested positive for methamphetamine has been arrested in Utah. Her baby is unharmed. Anaconda Police Chief Tim Barkell tells the Montana Standard that the month-long search for 29-year-old Michelle Renee Yallop and her infant son ended today with her arrest at a truck stop in Willard, Utah, about 50 miles north of Salt Lake City. Yallop faces a felony charge of endangering the welfare of a child. The Butte woman gave birth at Community Hospital in Anaconda on June 17th. State officials say she told hospital staff she wanted to leave. Staffers said she could, but not with the baby. Yallop was walking in a hospital hallway with the baby when she left and got into a waiting vehicle.
The Montana Supreme Court says authorities can't file a new criminal charges against a person using confidential information obtained in a drug treatment court program. The court ruled in a 7-0 opinion written July 15th that using that information violates the U.S. and Montana Constitution's protection against self-incrimination. The justices reversed a lower judge's conviction of Carlisle Plouffe, Plouffe entered Mineral County's treatment court program after being charged in 2011 with trespassing and marijuana possession. That October, a urine analysis administered to Plouffe tested positive for benzodiazepine, and he was charged after admitting to using and selling prescription pills stolen from a friend's grandmother. The High Court says authorities were not allowed to disclose the results of the urine analysis and use it as a basis for investigating a new offense.
In tonight's forecast across the listening area this evening and stretching in tomorrow, there's a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. West of the Divide tonight looks mostly cloudy with lows in the mid-40s to lower 50s. Tuesday, west of the Divide should be mostly cloudy with highs in the upper 70s to mid-80s. In central Montana tonight, it's partly cloudy with lows in the 50s. Tuesday will be mostly cloudy with highs 80 to 85. In southwest Montana tonight, expect mostly cloudy skies, lows 45 to 55. And on Tuesday, there'll be increasing clouds, highs 75 to 85. And now for the editorial comments of Julia Altmus.
Well, it looks like the Forest Service has done it to themselves again. By this, I mean the recent Federal Register notice announcing the agency is undertaking the writing of national best management practices for water quality protection on National Forest System lands. For many reasons, a set of national BMP standards is unnecessary, likely costly, and may undermine state and regional programs that have a proven track record of effective water quality monitoring. And it is questionable whether the Forest Service even has the legal authority to proceed with a national program. Congress enacted the Clean Water Act as a primary tool to regulate the discharge of pollution into the nation's waters. The Clean Water Act authorizes federal agencies to directly regulate the discharge of pollutants from point sources from which pollutants are or may be discharged. The Clean Water Act manages water pollution through Section 303, requiring states to develop water quality standards applicable to interstate waters and submit such standards to the Environmental Protection Agency for approval. Only in situations where a state fails to submit water quality standards does the EPA have the authority to develop standards for a state, not the Forest Service. In 1987, Congress amended the Clean Water Act to add Section 319 as mitigation for non-point sources of pollution. Section 319 directed all states to develop a plan that included a description of the BMPs to be undertaken and identify programs to be used in implementation. Section 319 also designated the individual states as a government entity primarily responsible for controlling and managing non-point source pollution. As a response, Montana's legislature passed House Joint Resolution 49, directing the Montana Environmental Quality Council to study how forest management practices affected watersheds. The EQC formed a BMP technical committee consisting of experts in the field of forestry from MSU Extension Forestry, the Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation, and several applied forest practitioners to develop Montana's first statewide forestry BMPs. In 1989, an interdisciplinary work group released the revised forestry BMPs, providing guidance in the areas of riparian and wetlands, sediment, streamside management, roads, stream crossings, soil, timber harvest, and reforestation. Since that time, Montana's forestry BMPs have served as compliance with the Clean Water Act and House Joint Resolution 49. Critical to the historical success of these practices is the biannual on-the-ground audit of harvest activities on federal, state, and private forest lands, logger training courses covering BMPs, the state's streamside management zone law, and a biannual report to the EQC. Since water quality varies naturally due to geology, soils, and climate, BMP audit investigators are able to collect a large number of samples over long periods that can accurately characterize water quality, record trends, and proactively develop adaptive management guidance and educational training tools. Therefore, we are concerned that a set of national BMP standards will only serve to muddy the waters, since the Forest Service has failed to explain how its proposed revisions to the Forest Service Manual and Forest Service Handbook comport with the directives of Section 313 of the Clean Water Act, which requires all federal agencies comply with existing laws concerning the control and abatement of water pollution. Not to mention the cost of compliance, the Forest Service's proposal states the national core BMPs will integrate individual state and Forest Service regional BMPs under one umbrella to facilitate an agency-wide BMP monitoring program. We have not seen a cost-benefit analysis, only an assertion that this action to clarify agency direction will not have an annual effect of $100 million or more on the economy, nor will it adversely affect productivity, competition, jobs, the environment, public health and safety, or state or local governments. Everything the Forest Service does affects in some manner all of the above. It is rather puzzling to assert that this new national program won't. Those that work and recreate in Montana's forest lands recognize our headwaters produce both a quantity and quality resource that supports some of the West's best aquatic and terrestrial habitat, and as such, take the management and protection of our precious water resources very seriously. A National Core BMP is at best a distraction, and at worst may be a costly undermining of 30 years of effective water quality monitoring and adaptive management. On behalf of the Montana Wood Products Association, I am Julia Altimus. Thanks for listening.
Julie Altimus is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Corin Cates Carney.
And I'm Conrad Scheid. Thanks for listening. And please join Edward O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News.